You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Muses and Stuff. This is the podcast that's all about the dolls. They were the groupies, the wives, the girlfriends, and the muses who played such a huge role in rock and roll history by simply being themselves.
They were sweet, sexy, brave, and powerful. They went after what and who they wanted, and they made no apologies.
We are your hosts, Shanti and Lynx.
Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
Hi everyone, just a quick intro to let you know about our guest this week. It's a great one. Vanessa Hines is our guest. She came and sat down with us, and you might know her name, and you will definitely recognize her aesthetic. Vanessa Hines is a rock and roll photographer, but she's not just someone who takes photos of bands. She's a fan, a friend, and a super creative individual in her own right. She is a true artist. Vanessa is the in-house photographer for the Strombo show, House of Strombo, and has shot countless Canadian legends such as Joel Plaskett, The Sheepdogs, Mac DeMarco, Yukon Blonde, Metric, Rich O'Coin, Carly Rae Jepsen, just to name a few. By checking out her work online, you'll see the countless fashion magazine shoots she's done and more photos, music photos of Elvis Costello, Father John Misty, and many more. We dare you to check out her work and not get lost for hours. It's truly beautiful. When Vanessa came by to record this episode, it was clear to see how her subjects opened up to her, feeling comfortable and confident in her presence. She strikes a beautiful balance between professionalism and friendship, which makes us want to spend more time with her. Seriously. Vanessa is an essential part of the music that is being made today, capturing intimate backstage moments that our groupie dreams are made of. Vanessa is a part of our rock and roll present while capturing the moments that are making rock and roll history. Thank you so much for coming by, Vanessa. We just adore you. And as always, this episode is brought to you by ElectrifiedPorcupine.com. Electrified Porcupine is bringing you the best in action figures, collectibles, music, wrestling, gaming, and more. Enjoy the episode. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Muses and Stuff podcast, also known as Muses and Stuff.
Hello, everyone out there.
That's Lynx. And today with us in-house is Vanessa Hines.
Hi.
So for those of you who don't know who Vanessa is, well, there was that intro at the beginning there, but while she's sitting here with us, I just want to say that I'm a big, big, big fan of your work.
Aw, guys.
It's getting to this point where I'm looking through, like, just rock and roll photos, or like I'm online and I see a picture of a band and I can instantly recognize when it's Vanessa Hines.
I love that. That makes me so happy. That's what the goal is, to have an aesthetic that people know. So that like fills my heart. Thank you.
Okay, and I was telling you earlier, I have friends who were so excited when I told them that you were coming on, so I think this is going to make a lot of people happy, so thank you so much. It's made us really happy, so.
No pressure. No pressure on me. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I love that. I'll try my best.
And I love the fact that you were, like, we scheduled, we rescheduled, but it just kind of shows how in demand you are right now, gosh. How busy you are, just, like, working and, like, I'm just happy that you're here.
Thanks
for being here.
Yeah, thank you for making it work. I am very happy to do this, too.
Yeah, so for me, I'm really curious, especially when we're evaluating, like, people in rock and roll who aren't necessarily the bands themselves, but the people that are part of that well-oiled machine, and then especially the women. Once I kind of found out who you were, what you were doing, I just wanted to know more. I did see you... not too long ago at the Exclaim party.
Oh.
And I saw you.
Why didn't you come say hi? Well,
because I was on the Red Bull bus in that little air conditioned area at the
Oh, you
far
had all the air conditioning.
I had all of it. It was just it was really strange to be on there. It's like, how did this happen? But we couldn't come back across the stage and down because that's when the guys with the puppets
What do you mean puppets? They're not puppets. They're real life creatures.
Oh.
Feltworth. Yeah, they're a band. They're not puppets, man.
Okay, so
you're welcome, guys.
Right, because we're not allowed to say anything else, right?
No more. Yeah, yeah, you're sworn to secrecy on that.
Yeah, just tugging at her ear.
Yeah, I did watch that set. Yeah, while searching for shade, and there was none. So
I was looking out the window and I saw you just standing below the bus, and I was like, Vanessa, there she is. I want to go say hi, but I can't leave anywhere right now. I don't want to be knocking on the window.
Yeah.
I was like, as soon as the Felt dudes are done playing, the real, you know, because they're a real band, I'm going to run down and say hello. And then when that happened, it was like, I think maybe it's peak busiest. I looked around for you. I couldn't find you. And I was like, she's Pokeroo.
I didn't last long because it was just a hot, sweaty mess. But it was fun.
Find you to bring you into the air conditioning.
Oh, man. I know. It's funny. We had this plan that we were, this is off topic, but that the only area for shade was like right in front of that bus. But then where the shade was, it was just where the vent was that was blowing the hot air out of the bus. So like we were kind of like, do we stand in the direct sun or do we stand in like the hot air vent, in which we chose that option, but it didn't last long. But here we are now, so it's all it all worked out. Yeah,
here we are. So you're this mystery woman that now I get to or we get to, we have the pleasure of picking your smart, intelligent, beautiful brain.
Yes.
Oh, I think
okay
you.
So why don't you start off?
First question, where did you grow up and were you raised in a musical family?
So I'm from Vancouver, British Columbia, beautiful British Columbia. And yes, kind of. So my dad owned a record store for a long time when I was a kid.
Cool.
It was called Final Vinyl. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and he, well, to start, my dad was like, he's a musical guy, and he was the lead singer of this Led Zeppelin cover band called Control, which is amazing, and he can still wail like Plant, which is like, he says he can't, but that's not true, he can. And so yeah, I was like constantly surrounded by music via him, so I think that's probably where I came in. But I really have to give my mom credit, because so my parents separated when I was a kid and my dad moved back to Ontario, and I stayed with my mom, and my mom was always playing like the best stuff all the time, like The Hip and Tom Petty and like every I'm looking at this picture right behind her head, but Nirvana. She listened to Nirvana so much when I was a kid, so I feel like I really have to give her props, because she was like playing stuff all the time. But then yeah, my dad would take me to concerts, and like that was sort of our bonding. Like when I would come to Ontario, he would take me to like Edgefest or, you know, all of those things.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I know. And I think, I don't know if it's making a resurgence, but anyways, yeah. So both of them are actually pretty musical in that way. So I think I kind of just, that's always been in my like peripheral, you know, or something I loved. So it makes sense that that's cool. Where I ended up.
Well, do you happen to remember the first concert that maybe your father took you to?
Well, I know. I saw this question. I was thinking about. I honest to God think my first concert was New Kids on the Block. I'm not even lying.
Mine was Backstreet Boys.
Oh, I mean, so that's like maybe we're a couple years apart because mm-hmm. the New Kids were sort of like the Backstreet Boys of that era.
100%.
Yeah. So I think that was my first concert. I mean, I probably could be wrong, but I did that.
First one that like stuck out in your.
It's funny because I have like no visual, like I can't picture that concert in my brain, but I do remember having a Hangin' Tough t-shirt, which I hope still exists somewhere. So there was that. Yeah.
I had New Kids on the Block bed sheets.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
And pillowcases with their faces on them.
Yeah. My little brother and I had gotten a tape as a gift, or somebody was like, we don't want this anymore, here you go. And it was kind of, it seemed like a bit of a tour documentary, but it had their music videos, and my little brother and I would watch it, and he'd be like, I'm Donnie, and he would never let me be Donnie.
Oh my gosh. I remember there was multiples of those VHSs, and they were almost like they'd have like music videos. Yeah. Kind of, they'd be like in the gym like working out and stuff. And can I say whatever I want on the show? Yeah. Or like whatever. But I remember as I got older, me and my friends would get stoned and watch them, and we would think they were so funny. Yeah. And there was one where they were just like in the gym, like working out and singing the lyrics to their songs. And it was just like the best like thing to watch when you were high.
Yeah. And then the same thing with like Backstreet Boys videos, especially like their first two. But you can, because you can tell that they're looking around like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, of course.
They still have that startled look. Yeah.
It's really nice to go back and just feel super nostalgic about those. I brought them into another room, but I have a whole box of VHSs that we want to go make into DVDs. And one of them is just one tape of everything on TV of Backstreet Boys. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, concerts,
nice. It's nice pay-per-views. Seeing them unpolished.
I would like to see that. If you make that, send it my way.
I will.
Yeah. How about your best concert? Is there? It's hard to choose.
It's so hard to choose. I can't possibly choose. I don't know. Because there's some that are just, like, are so in a moment, you know, where you really, like, remember them. But I can't say. I mean, I'm so, like, privileged because of working on, like, the Strombo Show, too, that I sit in a living room and watch the most incredible people, like, sit in front of me with, like, either nobody like but the people that work there, or like the 80 people that can fit in George's living room. And it's crazy, like watching Charles Bradley like a few feet in front of you, just like sweating like crazy and singing his heart out with just a guy playing guitar. It's like, yeah, all the time I'm like, what is happening?
One magical moment after another.
Yeah, totally. But I'll think, maybe if it pops into my brain later, I'll be like, aha.
That's incredible.
Not New Kids on the Block, though. That wasn't the best one. Yeah, sorry.
Well, now I'm thinking about, like, if I had to answer that, and before, like, two nights ago, you know, I don't know what I would have said, but I'm still high off of Bob Dylan. The adrenaline rush of being so close without that barricade, it was that same moment of looking around at my friend being like, is this happening? And because there was no photography, if she hadn't have been there with me, I don't know if I would have believed it myself. But you kind of went into, which is good, the next thing that we were going to ask was...
Oh, you know what, though? I think I might have thought of it.
Oh, wow.
I think I, or not thought of it, but like, I will have to say that because we were talking about this earlier, Prince. Because I think sometimes you don't understand like the power of someone until you see them live, like, and you can sort of know their catalog or know their like history, but until you see them actually in front of you doing that, and he is the most like, he was the most talented guy ever, and his guitar playing is unbelievable. And I think I kind of didn't know that in a weird way, even though I had seen videos and stuff. You've got mail. Like watching him live was insane. And there was one point where like, so he plays two shows. You saw it, Links, mm-hmm. as you know, but one is kind of like the beginning is, or the first show is kind of like the band for the band set. And the second one, he plays all the hits. And I swear he played for like 3 hours. At one point, he's just like, I've got so many hits. And we were just laughing so hard. He said that.
He was like, I could go all night.
Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, this man doesn't stop. So it was like, that was probably one of the most memorable things I've seen.
He kept doing like medleys where you put them together because there's just so many to get through.
Yeah. And then also the caliber of the musicians that he surrounds himself with, which were like those badass amazing women too, which is so cool that he does that. But even watching them like just take his cues and go off his riffs, like I'm sure they kind of weren't working off a sort of structured set list in a way where he'd just go into one song and you're like, that type of musicianship was insane. So anyways, I will say Prince right now.
Hell of an answer.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
We were just gonna, or one of our questions was just gonna start like just bragging about you and everybody who you photographed. Ooh. From Elvis Costello, Father John Misty, Mac DeMarco, Peaches, The Kills, and it would have been insane to ask you who your favorite artist to shoot was, but it was just some of those memorable moments.
Yeah. Who my favorite? I have so many people that are my favorite, but keep going.
I don't know. I just ended up skipping a question, but we'll just go back to it.
And through the process of editing, you can take out.
We don't edit.
Oh, you don't? Oh, that's only amazing.
Only if it's absolutely like requested.
Oh, no. I like this. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
It's just real. Like, it's just a conversation. And
yeah. These two lovely ladies are making like a face. Like, maybe we thought we should go back to something. So I interrupted them. But yeah.
No, Lings is like, Shanti, you missed number three and skipped to six.
There is no. We're like Prince. We're not working off of a set, like, set list. We're just going for it. I don't, that question's so impossible to answer because like I've been, this, it's so weird to use this word, but I've been like so blessed to be in the room with so many amazing people. It's like absolutely insane. And I will say that I don't really get weird about people. Like I keep my cool pretty well, but Elvis Costello is probably one of my favorite musicians ever. Like, mm-hmm. I love him so much and he is so important to me and my dad. We would listen to him all the time. And yeah, My Aim is True is one of my favorite records. Excuse mm-hmm. me. And so when he walked in the room, I was just like, this is not happening. And I think I just like stared at him the entire time. Like, I don't even think I took that many photos because I was just like, ugh. So he would have to be on a memorable list. I photographed Sharon Jones right before Squamish. And she was really incredible because it was like literally right before she walked on stage. And she had such a like stoic presence, like stoic, strong presence. Like, she's an incredibly strong woman. And so she kind of was just like, I went up to her. She knew I was taking a picture, but she's like, what do you want? Mm-hmm. Not like in a mean way. She's just like, what do you want me to do? I was like, just stand right there. Look out that way. She's like, okay. And I think I took like three pictures. And then I was like, thank you. And she's like, I don't usually let people take my picture before I go on stage because I'm like thinking. And I was like, okay. Or like, she was just sort of like processing what was about to happen. And I don't know. It was like such an amazing moment just sort of watching her right before she went and did her thing. She's such a powerhouse. But I can't, I can't pick a favorite. Ah, they're like, all, everyone is amazing. I love everyone.
I have a really beautiful Elvis Costello story. When Diana Krall and him tour, I think they tour at different times so that as a family they can tour together.
Yeah.
And one time before...
Are they together?
Yeah, they're married.
They're married.
One time before one of Diana Krall's shows, we hadn't opened the theater yet, and Elvis came out with their son and went to the piano, and they were, he was like teaching his son how to play White Stripes, like Seven Nation Army on the
so
piano.
Cool.
And they were just having this beautiful little moment together on stage, and it was so lovely.
Of course he did. He's probably like the coolest dad. And also Diana Krall has been in the house too, and she like, she'll just casually say, of course, because it's her husband, but she'll be like, and then Elvis. And every time I was like, like, you know, like, she's talking about Elvis Costello. This is crazy. But yeah, he was like so cool and so chill. And like, one of my favorite things to do is look up old Elvis Costello, like performances from like the 70s or like any of his songs. And he's like a friggin' legend, man. He's so cool. So just
it
watching
him.
It's
a good time for rock and roll. The people who are like, oh man, I was born in the wrong generation, or I was born. It's like, no, we have all, like, well, I mean, besides losing a lot of our greats in 2016, it is a good time for music.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And you know that, and you're documenting it, and it is.
Yeah, it's an amazing time for music. People are creating some of the most incredible things right now, and in the face of, like, a really insane world, I think that's a lot of people's outlet. So we're hearing a lot and seeing a lot, and, yeah, music is really incredibly important right now, for sure.
All right, well, I'm going to go off because what we were just discussing goes with the question that isn't in the order.
No order, man.
Yes. Well, as you were talking about, there seems to be this very deep level of trust between the photographer and the artist, and we get the impression that you cultivate and foster strong relationships with your clients. Have you always had that quality to put people at ease? And is there a line between a professional and personal relationships, or is this the kind of industry where professional jobs can turn into friendships, or friendships turn into jobs?
Yeah. I think, like, when I started photography, I started in high school, and some of my closest friends who are still in the band, they weren't called this at the time, but they're in the band Said the Whale, who are, like, killing it. So Ben and Tyler went to high school with.
Yeah, they really are. Did Father John Misty open for them?
No.
Years and years and years ago?
I don't know.
Because Father John Misty opened for a whale band. And I don't know if it was Said the Whale. I don't think it was Whale Tooth. Those are the only whale bands that I know. But Father John Misty in 2012 opened in Toronto for a whale band. We'll have to ask.
I have to ask that question. Yeah. That would be insane. Yeah, but Ben and Tyler had always been like making music. And well, there was a couple other bands around at that time that have all gone through different inceptions. But so I was kind of like the photographer to their... to their, you know, music making endeavors. So I think that was like my first taste of like starting with someone from the beginning and kind of like growing with them, and them always kind of like calling on you and you like creating an image together. And some of the people that I photograph consistently now, they all started as professional relationships and are now some of my closest friends, like Hannah Georges or Carly or even George Strombolopoulos. You know, like you start with these people where you're just like have this seed of like, I want to take your picture, we should work together sometime, and you sort of create this bond and dynamic, and it kind of like continues throughout time, you know. And so yeah, and it's really important for me to be in a position where people really trust me, because I think you're in a really vulnerable place when you're in front of a camera, you know, and you have to know that the person on the other end has your best interest at heart. So these people really like trust me to do them justice and sort of, I don't know, be a fly on the wall for a lot of things, which is such a huge honor. So
it is a very personal profession.
Yeah, 100%. And photography can be really deceiving and manipulative at the same time. And, you know, it takes a lot for someone to let you into their space and sort of do them justice, I think, and know that they're going to sort of be true to you or bring something out in you that you want to see. And yeah, and especially for musicians, it's a bit of a necessary evil sometimes. A lot of people I work with aren't like, don't love having that done. So to sort of convince someone like, hey, it's cool, we can do this. And yeah,
which people might not know, because I think maybe to your, just to your average music listener, they might think, well, these people got into this profession, they want to be the center of attention, they want to be up front in front of people, they want to have, but we've noticed too that people, musicians, artists can be quite private.
100%. And people also mistake that energy for like something ego driven, and a lot of the time I think it's more insecurity driven more than anything. And I've learned that a lot by like at first taking things personally by the way people react to me, and then really realizing that it's just sort of like people being self-conscious and sort of not knowing how to like react to you and figuring out how to make that work. Yeah, but I don't think a lot of people do like the limelight, but a lot of people don't, and you would be surprised at the people who don't via like what you see out there in the world, that it could be like a little misleading. But yeah,
totally. Yep. Okay. Who is or are some of your favorite photographers, rock and roll or otherwise? I mean,
Oh, so hard.
Yeah.
I like so many of the classics that are really obvious, so I'm not going to say those. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, even like Annie's like earlier photos though, like, are so insanely amazing, like her rock and roll photos, and she kind of is like kind of a pioneer in that way. And I love that she's a woman and she was like photographing some of the biggest bands at the time that weren't the biggest bands at the time then. Like some of her beginning photos of like the Rolling Stones are insanely amazing. And yeah, I love her. And when I was in school, I really loved this guy Mario Testino when I was in high school, and he shoots a lot of like
oh yeah, he's great.
Vanity Fair covers and stuff, and he's more like fashion oriented, but he had a lot of really like personalized photos of celebrities that were very like in the same vein, if you can tell they let him into their space and really trust him. But because everyone mostly knows those people, I'm going to shout out some people that maybe people don't know already. And there's some amazing people in Toronto right now that are like killing it. And okay. I love so much. And there's this girl named Amanda Fotes, and she documents like the punk music scene in Toronto, or like music scene in general. And she shoots a lot of insanely amazing photos. Like, she shoots Pup a lot. And she just like, yeah, she really gets in there, and her photos are so, so good. Like, I bow down to her. I think she's like absolutely incredible. There's another guy in Toronto named Devin Little, and he shoots a lot of music stuff, and he has a really beautiful perspective that is just very different and sort of like gentle and interesting, and I like love him so much. Yeah, so those two, check those two out. Aww.
Another amazing photographer that a lot of people might not realize is Linda McCartney,
who's
another muse. And it's I think a lot of people think probably if they've seen her photos that it was through like the connection of her husband Paul that she got to shoot all these amazing musicians. But she was actually an accomplished photographer well before she met Paul.
Yeah, and her photos are incredible. Yeah. Yeah, I love her. There are a lot of, like, especially because we're on the, like, this theme of this podcast is amazing women. There are so many incredible music, like, women photographing the music scene. Autumn de Wilde, Lauren Dukoff, those are two really amazing photographers. This other girl, CJ Harvey, that's, I think she's based out of Brooklyn, but she also photographs sort of, like, the music scene in general, and her photographs are, like, so raw and really like takes you sort of like behind the scenes of a lot of stuff, and she is absolutely incredible. So
I think it's nice to do to be seeing a little bit of the behind the scenes stuff, because as we were saying earlier, how venues and places seem to be getting stricter and stricter, and to be able to get a little bit of a glimpse into the private life in the days when there are locks.
Yeah,
and backstage doors.
It does make you feel more connected to the band to be able to see your photographs and like see through your eyes.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I love doing it. I see people like you see a lot of really cool things. It kind of goes back to the perspective of like that. You might have a preconceived notion of what you think people are like or what they're doing, or that they're like want the limelight or super confident. And I don't like seeing people's before rituals are amazing. Like, I don't want to shout anyone out to make them feel like embarrassed. But I see people that are like, you know, you'll see them on stage and they're like the most explosive like rapper, and they like command the room, and beforehand they're like almost like lying in the ground in the fetal position, just like trying to keep their shit together because they're like so nervous before they do their thing. Or, you know, yeah, Carly just did
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Sorry, I shouldn't say that, like it's so informal. But I don't say her full name when I talk to her, but yeah. She
that'd be a little weird.
Yeah. Hey, Carly Rae Jepsen. She just played with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra in Toronto, and I've honest to God never seen a person like happier or more excited before they went in on stage. Like, she was literally like this like bouncing ball, and she was like crying and laughing and like all these things because she was just so excited to like go perform for people. And I think probably no matter how many times you do it, there's probably a level of like not keeping your cool and just being like, you know, like not treating it like it's just so everyday and whatever, you know, and really like being so excited and grateful and all those things. So it's so amazing to watch people in that zone.
Yeah, it's great. She like hasn't lost that. It's not routine to her. It's still something magical.
Yeah. And I mean, oh, like speaking of like, because Massey Hall, we were talking about that before. Every year I photograph that Dream Serenade event, which the lovely Hayden puts on in support of the Beverly School, and all these amazing bands come out and play. And Massey Hall is such a legendary venue for so many people. Like, it's an honor for people to play that. And I've watched the musicians backstage who have never played that show before and like about to go on and be genuinely like nervous or just have this energy about them because it is that space. And you're like, well, but you've played like the Air Canada Center or in front of like tens of thousands of people, and just seeing people be like, you know, a little bit frazzled. It's so cool.
You're
like,
yeah,
I love that.
I think Massey's sort of like an ultimate goal for a lot of musicians. A lot of the times when people perform there, They actually will say on stage, like, I can't believe I'm here. Like, yeah. I'm so happy. I'm so grateful.
And that's so, like, special, you know? It's not like people don't take a lot of that stuff for granted, you know? Yeah. It's sort of like this milestone. So I love being the person that can kind of, like, watch that or try to capture that and sort of show people the, like, reality of it. It's awesome. Cool.
Well, you might have sort of answered that in this next question.
Oops, sorry.
No, it's
great.
It's
yeah,
it happens naturally. It's like, this is what we want to be
exactly
talking about, so it's good.
I was gonna ask like, what are some of your favorite things about your job, which is probably what you just said, and how about some of the most difficult things?
Well, man, my job is amazing, and every day I think that and never take it for granted. And when I call it work, it's like almost kind of laughable. Like, it is a job and they're hard elements about it, and I work very hard, but like, it's amazing and it shows.
Congratulations
that.
On that.
You're living really, the dream.
Yeah, it's really inspiring to see somebody like really living every single day, like, living in their passion.
Yeah, 100%. I have this like very vivid memory of, so I took photography in high school, and there were a lot of really talented people in my class that like loved doing it. And I remember speaking to this one girl who was like really amazing at it in class and asking her if she was going to pursue it after school. And I remember her telling me that she wasn't allowed to, like she had a very strict family and she had to go to university and study like science or something. And I remember like my heart really broke for her. And I still like think about it now because I'm like, I can't imagine being in the position where I couldn't make my own choices of doing that. And not everyone, like, I don't want to sound like arrogant, because not everyone gets to like live this way where they get to make these kind of decisions or mm-hmm. follow this path, you know? And a lot of people have other pressures in their life. I'm really lucky that my family is like super supportive or, you know, or just like, go do your thing. But not everyone has that luxury. So I'm super grateful for that. But I highly recommend like doing what you want to do and living your passion, because nothing will be more gratifying. Like every single day I like have these moments. Like I got home from a shoot last night and I was just like, what as if that's my job, you know? And
yeah, I've had a lot of these magic is real moments.
Yeah, like, 100%.
Especially since this podcast has started, because you set your mind to something. And that's what the beginning of the show is. It's like women who went after what or who they wanted. And mm-hmm. it's just setting your mind on this goal and then realizing like,
I can
do that.
It.
And as long as like your intentions are like kind and you just want to like share your talent, but you also want to like share in the success of other people and build and everybody building each other up, then
100%. Yeah, I love that mentality too. I mean, like, for me, there's no, I don't ever really feel like competitive. I just want to like lift people up, because I feel like there's no point. And I am like, even the people I mentioned, you know, that are like, a lot of them are my peers, like Amanda or Devin or people like that, like I'm so inspired by looking at things that they produce, even though we kind of are all in the same like line of, you know, doing photographing similar people or being in the same vibe. Like I love sort of being supportive of that. So
yeah. And you're all different artists. You all have a different way of shooting and a different vision. And
but like I collaborate with people in the daily, like even these musicians where like everyone's just like trying to do their thing. And it's so cool to watch everyone just like sort of have what's in their brain or heart and trying to like project it out there. Like we're all kind of in it together. So there's sort of this like camaraderie, you know, like photographing musicians, I feel like they're on the same page as me. They're just like doing it in their own, their different outlet. But
yeah,
I
that's
love.
It. And it's like finding your spot in the rock and roll world, and the rock and roll is great, because you realize, oh, we're all creative people, we're all like-minded, but you can't just have a photographer, because then, or you can't just have a band, or you can't just have, you know, like
it's a whole support system.
We're like a little unit. And I'm not very musically like inclined. I like tried to play guitar a little bit, and in my head I would be like, if I could, I'd be like in the Queens of the Stone Age or something, like if I could project a fantasy life. But yeah, I just was never like musically inclined, but I was so in love with that world. Like I would go to concerts all the time and look at music magazines and like live, breathe, eat, sleep, like all that stuff. So photography was like my way to be part of that world with actually like without actually being a musician myself. So it's so cool, man.
So how's the like making your own scheduling? How is it working on like a musician's time, I guess? Is there any like, do you ever feel burnt out or tired, or do you make sure to like take your rest when you need it, take a vacation when you need it?
No, I don't feel burnt out. Like, a lot of what I do is like cultivating my own, or like making my own projects, or sort of seeking things out on my own that are like passion driven, not necessarily financially driven sometimes. So no, it's just like things in my brain that I want to get out or do or create or collaborate with people. So no, like, I honestly don't feel like burnt out. I just do it.
Would you ever consider being like a tour photographer and going on the road with a band?
Yeah, I've done it like in little spurts with different friends and stuff like that. And I do really like it. It's not as visually, like, there's a lot of breaks. There's a lot of downtime. There's a lot of chill. Like, people like chill and they want to do their own thing. And they want to, like, sometimes if it's like a band that's together all the time, maybe they want to be a bit like separated at times. So, you know, I've gone into situations where I'm like, this is going to be great. I'm going to like get the visual dirt, and then like no one's hanging out with each other, or they're just like on their cell phones or whatever. Yeah. But I would for sure. Especially in this, I'm in this phase where I'm like, I gotta do it all now before I don't want to do it, and before I like have real responsibilities or something. I feel like I'm free right now to just be like
wherever
a teenager in my mind, but yeah, there'll probably be a point where I'm like, oh, I really just want to sleep in a real bed and yeah, all those things. But yeah, I would definitely do more of it if I had the opportunity.
I was just speaking about like just shooting bands and being around them and hanging around with them. I follow Yukon Blonde on Instagram, and I saw that Jeff had posted a photo of himself, but he was holding a camera, but it was shot by you, and he said, and this photo is by the incomparably talented Vanessa Hines.
Those are my buddies.
Yeah, they're just, they're so wonderful. And but it's just so nice to see too, like, how you balance like professionalism with fun, and just,
you have to make it fun. Yeah, I mean, like, that's how you, like, create a comfortable space for people, though. And, like, all these people, I always wonder if people think, like, oh, you get these opportunities because you're friends with people. And I'm like, no, I'm friends with these people because we've, like, done these things together and now, like, created this relationship. And, yeah, I love being in that position. That's where I'm going after I chat with you guys, is to go in the studio with them because they're finishing up their record. But, yeah, they're amazing. I love everybody and everything.
That's amazing. Good.
Guys, life is so nice.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You really got to think about that.
Oh, it is.
But you know what? I thought about a good negative maybe that I can say, is that my negative sometimes is me, because it is really up to me to like cultivate a lot of my work, or put myself in a position, or ask questions, or really like put yourself out there for things. And sometimes I get in my own way or in my own head of being like afraid to do something or afraid to ask, or, you know, I want, sometimes my detriment, I want everyone to like me or not feel like I'm in people's way or space or anything like that, or bothersome. And I think sometimes I maybe miss an opportunity to do something because I'm like, oh, I didn't want to like piss them off, or I didn't want to like, you know, especially with people I don't know as well. And sometimes I'm just like, want to like shake myself out of that headspace, you know? Yeah. So,
well, maybe the next time that you feel that, and I know what that feeling feels like in your chest and in your throat. And
yeah, you're like, I don't want to be a bother.
It has to do with like saying something or speaking something or asking for something. You can kind of check in with yourself and go, I told myself that if this comes up again, then I am going to go for it.
Yeah.
And we all, and a no is free.
Yes, exactly.
Is what we like to say. Yeah. Is there's no harm in asking. And
yeah, that's my number one, like, now it's my number one rule of like, the worst someone's going to say, the worst thing you're going to hear is no. Yeah. And at least then you know you tried, you know, and then you can walk away being like, well, and not in your head like, what if? And I've been really successful in that way, and I've also failed in that way before, and I'm like, that's okay, because I know that I did my best. But at the beginning, I would get in my way, my own head, so much that I would let myself get in the way. So don't do that. Just ask.
So we've talked about some of the amazing artists that you have been able to shoot. Who's on your list of performers that you're hoping to shoot eventually?
Oh, man. There's so many people.
I want to put it out there in the universe.
I know. I love that you just said it, because I love that phrase. If you project it, it will come.
I had Bob Dylan on my vision board, and I don't know why. I just had like a little picture of him that I had just found the other day, and I just put it there, and I was like, I don't know how this is gonna like materialize. It's Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And then when I was standing in front, not to like keep going, like, I don't mean to like brag about it, but oh my god, like I said, I'm still paralyzed from what happened. But it's brag, crazy sister. That I was looking at Bob on this vision board for probably 3 months, and then when he was up in front of me, I was like, is there a connection here? Did I do this?
You might, or like maybe there's some kind of like energy that exists between you and that, like you and Bob Dylan, that you don't even know about yet. Like maybe it's like something else in the ether that will.
I wore my most beautiful dress for him.
Yeah.
I wanted to look like an angel.
I'm sure he saw you, you know, you put it out there. You know, it's amazing. When I saw Bob Dylan, he kept walking off to the side of the stage, and there was like this like statue of like a head, like a bust or something,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that
was it.
And we had all these, like, we were trying to think of all these theories about what was going on, like if he would go back there, but he just had like goldfish in the head of that, and he would like eat one, and that was his like secret power, like what would keep him going. But maybe, you never know, like maybe you put something out there. But sure, I would happily photograph Bob Dylan. I would happily photograph Patti Smith. But, you know, I'll put out my guilty pleasure into the world. And I have been in his presence before. And I did make him laugh. I always say this. But I would love to photograph Drake. I love Drake so much. And I think he would just be, yeah, he would be at the top of my list. Don't judge me, world. But, you know, like, you know, we're the same age range. We still had a vision and, you know, we went for it. And he's just doing his thing. But I really love Drake. I would love to, like, but also maybe, like, not even just a portrait, but just, like, follow Drake for a day and see what's up. Like, what does he actually do? But when I met him, he was a friggin' sweetheart, and I would happily hang with him again. But maybe Patti Smith first. Universe, yes. Are you listening?
Universe, are you there?
Yeah, Patti Smith, please. Send her
it's
to
Vanessa.
Me. Yeah.
Cool. All right, where do we want to go? Oh, okay, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years? 10 years? Do you think ahead like that?
No.
I haven't either until
I don't
recently.
Know.
I thought.
I do when people ask me, like, life questions, like, mm-hmm. about my, like, plans for procreation or something. I don't know, but, yeah.
Do you plan on being in the city? Do you want to be on a farm?
I don't know.
Italy.
I don't know. I mean, all these are really good suggestions.
On a yacht.
Yeah, I will take any of them.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I want to still be doing this, but like more. Like I just want more and more and more, and to like just, yeah, keep going. But I don't know. I don't really project in that way, because I feel like if you plan too much, you like plan yourself into like a corner or something. Like I even feel like that way about taking photos, you know, like when people like really plan out their vision and their ideas and exactly what they want to do. And I feel like if you do that, you're just like not letting yourself be open to like other things that come up or come through, or yeah. And I feel like I'm a little bit of a, like, the universe has a plan kind of person, or they're gonna present things to you. So I'm just like, I'm open to like multiple paths, but still taking pictures. Hopefully have taken a photo of Drake by then.
I'm sure, Patti Smith. I'm positive it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah, you guys should just have like another microphone that's just like for projecting things into the universe that people want, and they'll just like whisper them into it every now and then, and they'll be like beamed up.
I'm into it.
Yeah, same. Okay. We're on that same wavelength.
Absolutely.
So for all the fellow photographers out there, or budding photographers who are curious, do you have a favorite camera or gear that you like to shoot with?
Or is it a secret?
No, no secrets. But I also kind of feel like the gear is a little irrelevant in a way, because if you got to have the eye, or, you know, want to have the eye. So I feel like people who really, no disrespect, but like really nerd out over that stuff and trying to have the best of the best or whatever, like I think it doesn't matter. Just like whatever you have, like use the tool that you have and create something, and then, you know, see if that works for you and grow from there. But I learned on like a 35 millimeter film camera, and I still shoot with that camera so much, and I have like a Pentax 6.7 that I love, but that's all like experiential. Like when I take pictures with that, like there's like some sort of feeling with me and those pieces of equipment.
Describe the right fit for you.
Yeah, like I just like, it's got like, I don't know, that like vibe when you're creating that, you know, the sound that they make, the like the pull of the, like, yeah, all of that stuff. So, but I think, like, don't think too hard about it. Take what you got. Do it. Photography can be, like, a really expensive thing, too, to get into. And I feel like it's a deterrent sometimes for people, or they feel limited by that. So you can get a used, like, old camera for $100 or something. Just do it.
Cool. Yeah, I love that. Just do it. That was, like, with this, it was Googling, you know, a year ago. How to make a podcast and
yeah, but this is awesome. You don't need like a soundproof recording studio. You got like your laptop and your microphone. You just do it because it's like about what you're doing, not what you're doing it
exactly.
With.
It's so. And I you know, you just mentioned all of the cameras that you use, and that doesn't mean anything to me. Like, I don't know what that means, but I can think about your I can think about your style. I can, like, I can bring up to mind some images that that you've had, and they have this certain vibe and this feel and this atmosphere to it, and it's just absolutely beautiful, and
thank
I'm
you.
So happy that that you're documenting like this time in our
our
rock and roll present, because they're gonna last.
Yeah, I would. That's what I like. You know, I like to, like, even like, I know you can't see this, audience, but behind me are all these incredible photographs of, like, you know, icons, and have these photos so we can be sort of
GTOs,
a voyeur.
Girls together outrageously and.
Tom Petty. Yeah, so I love that. Those are like
my grandma.
Yeah, but even still, that's a perfect example of like why photography is so amazing. Like that picture right there is, you know, such an amazing moment in time. So I'm happy to keep doing it.
Okay, final question. Describe your perfect day.
This sounds so hokey, but honestly, like, I mean, God, I have really bad days sometimes, and I am like a mopey mope, and, you know, I can get all these things, but also, like, every day is so awesome. I'm in that phase of my life where I'm trying to embrace that. But okay, yesterday, for example, I would say it was a perfect day. I met up with my buddies, the Elwins, who are the loveliest souls in the whole entire world. I
so
love them.
So great. Matthew shot my first ever. So before Lynx came on as co-host, I have a photograph of me holding a Rickenbacker guitar just like
Tom
Petty.
Oh, that's you. I don't know why I didn't know. That's you. I've seen that picture. That's an amazing photo. Matthew is like also visually an incredible dude.
I know. So Tom, like I said, I need somebody to recreate the Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers
amazing.
Album
I've seen
cover.
That picture. It's so good.
He shot it. He got it. Or he didn't shoot it, but he got it all ready, all together. He found everything.
He's an art director.
Super nice. And I actually met the Elwins for the first time in a Harvey's in Parry Sound.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting down eating french fries, like, after a weekend at home. And I was just like, what band are you guys in? And they look back and they're like, the Elwins. We're playing tomorrow night at this. You should come. And I was like, okay.
That's a perfect example of them. They're like the kindest souls ever. I love them so much. And I say that all the time. But so, for instance, yesterday we went to do the pictures and we went down to the Esplanade. Am I saying that correctly? Yeah. So we were in that hood. And we were taking pictures, and there's sort of like this basketball court there, and we're taking these pics, and these girls roll up that are probably like, I mean, they told me they're in grade 4 to 6 or something like that. There was maybe 10 of them, and they ended up, and they were practicing, they were playing music, they were like putting on DJ Khaled, and they were practicing their dance moves, and they had these choreographed dances, and it was like so amazing to watch. And I went over to them, and I like started talking to them. I'm like, oh, what are you guys doing? And they're like, we're the youth. They're like cheerleaders for the youth basketball team there. And they were like getting ready for this performance that's happening on July 9th, actually. Anyways. And so I was like, I'm photographing this band over there. And I'm just wondering if they come and like stand in the middle of you guys doing this, if that's fine. And I'll just take pictures of them and you'll like be floating around. Like, and they're like, yeah, sure. And they were just like the sassiest little like kids too. And their moves were like so on point. They were amazing. And I just was, like, photographing the Elwins while these girls were, like, doing these insane moves around them. And after, I felt like we all just had, like, this kind of, like, religious experience of just, like, what is life? Like, that was, like, so beautiful that these girls were just, like, existing around us and had no real concept. Like, they were, like, what band are you in? Like, they didn't really care about us or whatever. They were just doing our thing. And I was like, that was, like, friggin' magic what just happened. But it was just sort of, like,
inspired you to do something. They were little muses.
Yeah, but they were just, like, coexisting beside us, and we kind of came together. And then I was like, that was perfect. So that was a good example of a perfect day. And, yeah, lots of days are like that. So any day where I can create with, like, other amazing humans, which is really often, or talk to other amazing humans like you two ladies.
Thank you.
Those are really nice days. So,
Yeah.
Great. I'm so happy to be on this journey all together with each other and just be having some real open dialogues and just like a great conversation and like acknowledgement and gratitude that this is what we're doing. This is the city that we live in. These are the opportunities that we get. Not take it for granted.
Of course.
Have a great time and then bring that and be able to share it and share these experiences with the other people who might want a little bit of something else, that little more look into the life of... Mm-hmm.
Of course, yeah. And it's better when you do it together. Like we're, like you said, we're all kind of in this like journey together. We're on sort of some kind of path that intersects with each other often. And it's so amazing when everyone can kind of like lift each other up and want to like have a dialogue about it and then...
And just have fun. You know? And sometimes we need that. We need a little bit of escapism. We need a little bit of... Because we've not like shied away from talking about, you know, like things are kind of crazy right now. And this is what's happening, you know, in Canada, in the United States, and 150. And like it's... We've not shied away from that. But sometimes we do need to take a break from that. And absolutely. Just like remember that like we need to have fun. We need to let loose. We need to just...
And there's still magical moments out there.
Of course. Yeah. That's really important to remember. It's easy to really get caught up in the negative. And it's also something that you should be aware of and thinking of in conversations that should be have. But also like then sort of
take a step back.
But also maybe like put a positive contribution into the world, whatever that is. And I think, you know, these kind of things are all like make powerful impacts, maybe on a little level, big level. But yeah, good for your heart and soul.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much
for coming here
and doing this. We were so happy, and this was just another magical moment.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. I'm really, really like honored to do this with you guys. You are awesome. Keep doing what you're doing.
Right back at you.
Yeah.
So for people who are listening now and are like, okay, I've got to go check out her style, you can find Vanessa online pretty much everywhere. So if you go into Instagram, it's just Vanessa Hines.
That's me.
Right? You've got a beautiful Tumblr, websites, Facebook, and we'll link all of that stuff up in the show notes and include some of your beautiful photos.
Thank you.
Yeah, because it's really something special. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And just keep doing what you're doing.
You too.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah. See you next time.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.